The reading today is from Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 22, and Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. The first reading is about Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Bathsheba and went out to Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have put up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." The second part of the reading is about Jacob wrestling with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford to the Jabbok. After he had set them across the stream, he sent over his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose again above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, on this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendons attached to the sockets of the hip because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the bone. Word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Mary. I like to watch the great pottery throwdown on Sunday evening at about 8 o'clock, isn't it? If any of you watch it. Last Sunday, there were 6 potters left. And they were asked to do, as the big piece, a personal autobiographical piece. It could be abstract, or it could be a figure representing them. And it was fascinating to see the different figures and pieces that each of these 6 potters made as their autobiography, this figure representing them and an important moment in their lives. For one, who was autistic, he did a very clear human figure with its head in its hands. And I think he labelled it, "I can't do it." Another person who was a midwife and also had had her own children, who had had a very difficult pregnancy for her second child, she did a figure of a woman celebrating birth. And the one who won that particular week, she did another female figure with her arms outstretched, raised, celebrating her life. She was someone who had had real problems over her body image. But through that piece of work, she was celebrating her life. And I'll be honest, as I watched and saw these different autobiographical pieces of art, I cried. It really spoke to my heart. They were sharing something deep within in this piece of work. And as I knew I was preaching this Sunday, I was thinking in my own mind, I wonder if Jacob could have been there. And I wonder what sort of piece of pottery, what sort of autobiographical figure he would have made out of clay to represent a crisis moment in his life. I wonder what you would do. I wonder what I would do. As a lasting memorial to my life. This morning we've been looking at 2 incidences that I would call crisis points in the life of Jacob. The first is fairly early on in his life, when he's in his early 20s, unmarried. And the second incident, although it's only a couple of chapters further on in Genesis, is Jacob much later on in his life, where he's had 11 sons, I don't know how many daughters, to four people, four ladies, his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and their two maidservants. So the second crisis point for Jacob must have been when he was in his 40s, 50s. The name Jacob is interesting. If you like to know what names mean, it means literally, he grasps the heel. If you remember the story of Jacob, he was one of twins, Esau and Jacob. And apparently he was the second to be born, and he was born holding the heel of his brother. And Jacob, the name, as well as meaning he grasped the heel, it had the connotation he deceives, the supplanter, the cheat. But in our second reading, he was given another name, the name Israel. And that name means he wrestles with God. He wrestles with God. So here are two crisis points in this man's life. And I guess for all of us, there are points of crisis unique to us. But we can, as we review our lives, we can remember them. We all of us, however strong our Christian faith is, have times when it's tested and we can feel shaken to the core and we wonder how we're going to survive. The first crisis point for Jacob was following an incident, very unsavory incident really, where his mother, Rebekah, who favoured Jacob above his twin brother, Esau. That's always dangerous in a family, isn't it? She favoured him. And she found a way of enabling him to seize his birthright away from his brother by deceiving his father, Isaac. Most unhappy incident. And it ended up with tears and with Jacob finding it was best for him to leave home, to go to the northeast, Assyria, to Haran, to Rebekah's brother, Laban, and there to find a wife. And he's on his journey. He's north of what we would call Jerusalem today, not far north of Jerusalem. And he stops in this desert place. Now you imagine if you were camping out, you'd have your tent, sleeping bag, perhaps have a few little luxuries. Well, he lay there. What did he have for his pillow? A stone. I imagine, we're not told. He must have put something on the stone, perhaps a garment just to make it more comfortable. But he's tired and he falls asleep and he has this remarkable dream. Remarkable dream. He sees a stairway. David Pawson says it. He thinks it might have been an escalator, but this stairway stroke escalator went from heaven to earth, earth to heaven. And Jacob in his dream sees angels ascending and descending on it. There, in the middle of the night, in a desert place, a vista is opened to him, a link between heaven and earth. And as he surveys this ladder and the figures going up and down, God speaks to him. He says, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." And he promises a land, just as he promised to Abraham. And he promises descendants. He says, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." And this is what he says to him: "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." Here, this young man, a cheat, a deceiver, a supplanter, he is promised the presence of God. And when he awakes from the dream, he says to himself, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Deeply, deeply aware of the presence of God. His head lying on a stone. His body in a desert. And so significant was this experience that he took the stone and he set it up as a pillar, poured oil on it, called that place Bethel. That means the house of God. This crisis point in his life, he saw that God was with him. The presence of God was there in his life. God, to use our present day sort of expression, God had his back. God was going to be with him on this journey to Haran. God was going to bring him back. He was to play an important role in the purposes of God. Here in the desert, in the middle of the night, in the chill of the night, he experienced the presence of God. God was there in the desert place at this crisis point in his life. And I want to encourage every one of us this morning. God is with you. You're not abandoned. God loves you. He cares about you. He's saying through me to you this morning, through the words of Scripture, "My presence is with you. I will not desert you. I will not give up on you." This is the very house of God. This is where we meet him, but we meet him outside. We meet him down your road. You meet him in the shops. You meet him when you go on holiday. You meet him when you meet the family. You meet him in the hub. You meet him everywhere. His presence was assured to him. There, in that chill night's air, in a desert place, he is impacted and realizes the presence of God is with him. Take that to your heart this morning. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your need, whatever your background, whatever you know or you don't know, this is a word for you. God is with you. His presence is assured. And so we move on. 20, 30 years on. Jacob has been to Haran. He's married those two wives. He's had all these sons, 11 of them. He was to have another one who would survive, but unfortunately his mother would not survive through childbirth. But he's back on a journey back to where he'd started from. And he reaches this stream of Jabbok, which is a tributary of the River Jordan. You remember the River Jordan flows north-south in Israel. And this tributary moved eastwards out of the Jordan. And again, it's a moment of crisis. He's hoping eventually that he will be able to meet with Esau again. They've been apart for those years. And he's wondering what sort of meeting it will be, what it will be like, what will happen. And so he sends all the family and the servants and the animals that he has with him, and he's on his own. And there is this most remarkable experience that he has. And it's a situation where he is wrestling with a man. It's shrouded in mystery. It's in the middle of the night again. And I would say, please don't overanalyze this passage. It is shrouded in mystery. We're not too sure who this person he was wrestling with was. Many feel that it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And Jacob is wrestling with Jesus. Or an angel. Some sort of representative of God. But they're wrestling with each other. And we have this strange situation where his hip is put out of joint. Again, please don't ask me to explain it. But there in, again, a desert place, he meets with God. And Jacob is at a point in his life where he realizes his resources have gone. Let me read to you some words. A Scottish writer called Alexander White. He wrote books on Bible characters. And that is what he said about Jacob. He is cheated out of his wages. He is cheated out of his wife. You remember, he thought he was going to work for the young lady he wanted as his wife, Rachel. Instead, he was given her older sister, Leah, and he had to work on and stay on to get Rachel. He was cheated out of his wife and cheated and cheated and cheated again. 10 times cheated, and that too by his own mother's brother, till cheating came out of Jacob's nostrils and stank in his eyes and became hateful as hell to Jacob's heart. Cheating, that's all he'd been involved in his life, whether he was cheating or his father-in-law was cheating him. This was his way of life, cheating. That's all he saw in life, being deceived and deceiving others. And there, in that desert place, he wrestles. He's wrestling with God. Some writers reflecting on the Christian experience talk of the dark night of the soul. And this was a dark night of the soul for Jacob. Haven't you had sleepless nights? Nights where, as the night has drawn on and on, your spirits have sunk deeper and deeper. Where you've wrestled in your mind with situations that you're going through, all sorts of imaginings you have, all the fears rise to the surface, many of them irrational, but they're there. And you're wrestling, and maybe in the heart of it, you're crying out in your heart to God. You just say to him, "I don't understand. I don't even believe at the moment you're here with me. I don't understand what you're doing, what I'm doing, what other people are doing. I have no answers. I have nothing to hold on to." And that's how Jacob was, wrestling, this wrestling match in the desert place by this river Jabbok. And eventually, Jacob is driven to the point where he says, "From his heart, I will not let you go unless you bless me." That's a man at the end of himself, a man desperate to hold on to God, a man desperate to be living with God in his life. He couldn't let this man go unless he was blessed. This is mind-blowing, isn't it? It's absolutely mind-blowing. And when Jacob awakes, he calls the place where he has been Peniel, which means the face of God. Whatever happened to him in this wrestling match, whoever it was he was wrestling with, whatever all the background issues were, Jacob felt that he had seen the face of God right there in the desert place. And I just want to say to anyone who's perhaps going through a kind of wrestling with God, where you are struggling, and maybe your cry is, "Lord, this morning, I will not let you go unless you bless me." Clearly for Jacob, that prayer was answered. He didn't become overnight a perfect man. He still had his cheating tendencies. But God met with him on that return journey and blessed him. And this morning, God wants to bless you, to enrich you, to embrace you, to make you all that you possibly can be to his glory. Take heart this morning. That first crisis point where Jacob becomes aware you can find God in a desert. You can find God when you're sleeping with your head on a stone. You can find God in the ordinary things of life, his presence. And here in this second crisis point, he is a God who is to be embraced, who will supply his power and his grace to help in time of need. Oh, it's so wonderful, just wonderful. And we're celebrating communion in a moment or two. What a place to say to the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. This isn't being impertinent. It isn't being selfish. It's being realistic that we need the Lord every single day, every single hour of our lives. And this world needs Christians who are alive for God. It needs Christians who really say, it means everything to me that I know Jesus Christ. He's my Savior, my Lord. And in a world that is so torn apart, I find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us this morning. Remember a few weeks ago on Songs of Praise, we were taken to someone's house. He was a guy who liked to buy Bibles, and his house was filled with Bibles and other Christian books. And he said a very poignant thing. He said, I had to learn that the Bible had to move from my head to my heart. He says, when that happened, I came to know the Lord. I bought a new Bible recently. It's called the Everyday Faith Bible. And it suggests that three things should happen when we read the Bible. There should be things happening in our head as we think about it. Again, as the man with the house full of Bibles, it must then reach my heart, change me, and then it must reach my hands, that I go out and serve. Head, heart, hands. Will you cry out with me at the table? I will not let you go unless you bless me. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, Jacob lived in a totally different context, totally different culture. But what he went through is human and real. And Lord, we want to know your presence in our lives. And we want to know your power. We want to know your grace, your love flowing through us. Lord, we embrace you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.